On this week's 51%, we meet an award-winning photographer.
If I could create timeless images, then I would be contributing something of value to the cultures.
And encounter another photographer dedicated to a different mission. I'm Allison Dunn, and this is 51%.
You ought to be in pictures, my star of stars.
We begin with Dr. Sharon Ufberg and her 51% segment, Force of Nature. This time, she interviews Rose Eichenbaum, an award-winning photographer who holds a master's degree in dance from UCLA. Eichenbaum dedicated her career to the investigation of art-making and human expression through teaching, research, photographic documentation, and her six books. Ufberg asked Eichenbaum about how, with a dance degree, she ended up as a photographer.
The funny part is that, you know, so many people know me now just as a photographer, but I always think of myself as a dancer first and foremost. And I think that's because when I discovered dance as a young person, it so informed me about what it means to be an artist. And also the discipline of dance was something that once you experience the feeling of movement and the expressive nature of dance, you just never want to let that go. And it sort of seeps into your DNA. And so you never really stop being a dancer, even if you haven't had a performance career, which was sadly my case, because I dreamed of nothing but being on the stage for the rest of my life. Of course, as a young person, that was my goal. But, you know, life has its own plan for us, I was soon to discover. And I fell in love, got married at a very young age, and quickly had three children. So pursuing my dance career seemed nearly impossible, not to mention just raising them, but the cooking and the cleaning and the laundry and the chauffeuring them and all of that. And so I understood that I had to make some adjustments in my life.
And she picked up a camera as a young mother to photograph her children and fell in love with the medium.
And it soon became my new passion. And I began to consider a career as a photographer because I felt like the ship had sailed on my dance career. But then I had a revelation that maybe I could combine these two passions. And few people were specializing in something called dance photography back in the 1980s, and the field was sort of wide open. And I decided to step in, and soon I was photographing, you know, the local dance companies here in Los Angeles, and I created a promo piece of a local dancer that I shot in a dance school in the San Fernando Valley. I created a promo piece. I sent it to Dance Magazine. They received it. They called me, and they said, "We love your work," and started giving me assignments, and my career was launched on a promo piece. And so
that's so exciting.
I know. It was like, really? Are you kidding? A promo piece launched your career. It's true, and I tell this to my students who I teach, that you have to expose yourself. You have to be out there showing people what you can do. So I think it's fair to say that dance has been the primary motivator for my career as a photographer. And then, of course, that led to portraiture. And I mean, I love shooting anything, you know, nature. I'm just looking for interesting visual images that can be expressive and, you know, informative and all of that. So I went on then to start writing. And I understood early on that, you know, images need a life and they need to go be, if I could create timeless images, then I would be contributing something of value to the culture. So I started creating books and I started writing. And my first book, Masters of Movement, Portraits of America's Great Choreographers, it came out in 2004 and was published by the Smithsonian Institution Press. As a document on American choreographers. And that led to several other books on the arts, The Dancer Within, The Actor Within, The Director Within. All, again, about, as you mentioned earlier, the relationship of art making and human expression, which has become sort of the signature of my work to this point. And my latest book, The Dancer, the Inside the Dancer's Art, is a collection of photographs, 30 years of photographs of dancers that I had taken from my early days to the present, with quotes from them about what dance means to them. So it's been like an exciting, crazy ride, but here I am.
it's so fabulous. You know, like so many careers, you know, you go through lots of different renditions of what you actually become as you're becoming them. And I think it's important for people to realize, in the midst of all this passion and all of the different derivations of your very accomplished career life, you somehow also managed to have a very long marriage and raise three nice children. And I think you're going to be a grandmother soon. And I just think it'd be very interesting to hear what advice, if you have some, for other women that are also wanting, you know, a passionate career, but also a balanced life, which I think, you know, people find it's very interesting to hear what you might have to say about that.
Well, yes, I may be a minority position on this. I'm not sure, but I think a woman can have it all, family and career, because I did. But I will say that maybe not exactly at the same time. What I mean by that, for me, it was important to be there for my children. That was a priority. But I also felt that I had a responsibility to myself to pursue the things that I loved. So while I was raising my family, I was also investing in myself for the future. I was making plans. I was strategizing. I was researching the field I wanted to go into. And above all, I was honing my craft as a photographer. So when I was free, when my kids were a little bit older and I was not as required to be, you know, chauffeuring them and being around, and I taught them early on how to do laundry, I would have the skills I needed to not only go out into the field, but to succeed. That was important to me. So for, you know, most of the years that my children were really young growing up, I wasn't just checked out and thinking, okay, I'll enter later. I was working on it. So that's what I mean by having it all. I mean, I didn't have it all in terms of executing those dreams, but you need to prepare for your dreams. So in my case, it meant learning how to shoot really well, the technical and aesthetic aspects of photography. I took classes and workshops, and I practiced every day. I was photographing almost every day, and I think it's fair to say that I learned how to become a photographer by photographing my children, who were my primary subject matter. They were there, and I can, you know, shoot them and explore. For example, my eldest daughter was absolutely exquisite, young little baby with blonde hair and blue eyes, and I just dove into her whole beautiful world. And my son, when he was born, never stopped moving, so that's where I learned action photography. And my youngest daughter had these big brown inquisitive eyes, and I just loved photographing her, and she loved being photographed, so I think I learned how to do portraiture on her. But I will say, for your listeners, it's not easy. It's, you know, if it doesn't kill you, it makes you stronger. I mean, that saying really does apply here. It requires patience on your part to know that it's coming, your day will come, and perseverance to not lose sight of your dreams. They need to be fully in check and present. The time does come for you, and you don't want to shortchange your family life or your children as well. So it's a balancing act, and it's not easy all the time. Sometimes there's the backsliding and resentment and all of that. To be honest with you, that is there, But life is a journey, and it's complicated, and things don't always go the way you plan. So you have to be flexible. And I will say that I think marriage and motherhood can be really an asset for women, not an obstacle. And I say that because it gives you a foundation in your personal life, kind of a layer of security and support. Your family supports you, and a consistency in an insecure and unpredictable world once you go out there. There's no guarantee you will be successful. There is no guarantee how it will go. But you always have this nice, safe foundation of love to come back to. So that, I think, is really wonderful and useful. And so I say to young women, never give up on your dreams. You just may have to, you know, postpone them a little bit. And in the meantime, do your groundwork. Do the groundwork. Do the research. Know that when you are ready to go out there and tackle the world, you have everything you need in your arsenal because you've been working on it while you have been, you know, going, taking your kids to soccer and piano lessons.
Wow.
Does that answer the question?
Yeah, I think you have a third career as a therapist. I think that is good. That is
really good. I teach photography. I teach photography, so I have a lot of young women, and I love that women are embracing photography. I mean, they're really, I think because women are so intuitive and observant, they're great at it. And I think it's always a problem for them, like how do I juggle this? How do I balance this? And many women wait years before having children because they fear that they'll be missing out on something. But I think it's the other way around, because what we tend not to realize is that our children and our relationships with our spouse, that informs our art in ways that you could not have otherwise. Because being a mother, being a partner with somebody requires that you really investigate yourself and find the better parts of yourself. And that you can apply to your art and your work. So I think there's a myth that you lose something if you don't, invest in a family, that you jump right in and have career first and maybe have family later. So I think it was reverse. And I found that it was the best way to go for me. I didn't know it at the time, but I know it now in retrospect.
Yeah, it's really a wonderful perspective. Listen, I know that you currently serve as the resident photographer for USC's Gloria Kaufman School of Dance, and I know that you do a lot of, and I'm just wondering now, I know your children are grown and you have a lot of freedom to explore all aspects of your career. So really, what's up next for you? What are you excited about? What are you working on?
Yeah, well, I am really, I've done, a total six books. And now I'm working on a project that is probably my most personal, most intimate work. And it's called In Pursuit of Insight, which is really what I have been doing all of these years with my other books. But it's much more personal in this case, because what I'm trying to discover is what it means to be an artist and live the artist's life, looking at dancers, musicians, actors, directors, fine artists, fashion designers. I'm looking across the world of art making to see what I can learn from other creative individuals. And the book is also about my personal encounters with these people. It's not just, you walk in a room and you talk to somebody. You walk in a room and you have a relationship. You develop a relationship with them. At least that's what I feel like I do. And in so doing, there is a lot of insight about what it means to have a one-on-one with someone that becomes intimate, and people reveal some of their deepest thoughts about themselves and about what they have been doing for decades in many cases. For example, when I was first starting out, and this happened years ago, but it's relevant to my life now. When I first started as a photographer, I had the opportunity to meet the late, great Arnold Newman, who is known as the father of environmental portraiture. And I had an opportunity to show him my portfolio and get his thoughts on my work, which was nerve-wracking, may I add. And he sat there and he looked at my portfolio and he looked up at me and he said, "Rose, you have no style. You haven't studied the history of photography and it shows in your work. If you want to be a great photographer, you need to study the work of the great masters like, you know, Alfred Stieglitz, Edward Weston, Henri Cartier-Bresson, Ansel Adams." And I realized he was right. I mean, I knew how to create images technically really well, but I hadn't studied the history of the art form. And he suggested that I start reading books on the history of photography and going to photographic exhibitions to better my understanding of this medium as a communicative and artistic expression. And immediately I realized he was right. And so I have become a student of the art form I've invested my life in, and it changed everything for me. It changed how I see, how I shoot, how I relate to my subjects, and the work changed dramatically. And this is just one example of an encounter with someone who is a profound artist who understands what it means to be a creative person. And so this is what I'm doing in this collection, and I'm excited that I have already interviewed people like Cheetah Rivera, you know, the great Broadway triple threat, the veteran actor Martin Landau, who was also the director of the Actor Studio, and I've interviewed Shirley MacLaine, and I have an appointment and an interview with the great magician illusionist David Copperfield, and I've interviewed fine art photographer Howard Schatz, and the great drummer from the rock band The Doors. So it's like this crazy, fascinating collection of artists who, have a lot of insight in my pursuit of insight that I can learn from.
I know how inspiring you really are, and I would love it before we have to go to share your website so people can have a look at your photographs, get a look at what your books are about.
Sure.
How do people find you?
Well, my website is www.roseeichenbaum, roseeichenbaum, .com. And, on the site is several galleries of work of photography and portraiture and my latest project, which is on the human face. There's a whole gallery of fascinating faces. That's a conversation probably for another day. But, you just go to the website and I'm reachable on there. All my contact info is there, and it's a fun site, I think, because you see my dance journey. It's right all up in front. And some of the fascinating people that I've had the great privilege of interviewing and spending time with. So, that's pretty much it.
Thank you. Thank you.
You're
Rose,
very
so
welcome.
Time to talk to us
my
today.
My pleasure.
This is Dr. Sharon Ufberg on Force of Nature for 51%.
Dr. Sharon Ufberg is co-founder of the personal development wellness company Borrowed Wisdom in California. And now we meet a photographer dedicated to producing art about Minnesota's Hmong community. Her work highlights the lives of war veterans, Hmong internet dating, and much more. In 2019, the Star Tribune named her one of 9 artists primed for greatness. KFAI's Dixie Trichel produced this audio portrait.
My name is Pahua Her, and I am Hmong. I've lived in St. Paul all my life. I photograph exclusively in my community, and I do this because who better to tell your story than you? I'm really interested in all forms of photography, studio portraiture, found imagery, montaging. It's a sort of a mix of everything. And I think that lends itself to using photographs as a Rolodex of vocabulary punctuations so that I can take what I need to say what I need to say. I have a body of work that's titled Attention. portraits of Hmong men who have fought during the Vietnam War alongside Americans.
There's something happening here.
Here in America, they're not recognized. And what I find really interesting about these men is they buy their own uniforms, they buy their own medals, and they give themselves ranked. And these medals and these uniforms are not given to them by the United States government, are not recognized by the United States military, but yet they insert themselves into this history. And my job as a photographer is to capture that. There's a series that I did called My Mother's Flowers, still lives of fake flowers that my mother loves to have around the house that she's had for years and years. And then she adds her own flowers sometimes to them. So I've been photographing these floral arrangements. I've also just positioned that with images that I've gathered from the internet dating website that connects Hmong American men to Hmong Laotian women. And then using those found images, recreating those here in America with older Hmong women. I think for me, adds for a really complex and interesting dialogue. Some people find it highly offensive. I think that is part of the conversation. There are some images that are beautiful, blown up really big, but then there are also images that are very deliberate in terms of the pixelation that takes place. For instance, in My Mother's Flowers, the found images of the Hmong Laotian woman on the internet, when you blow them up, you can still make out the female figure, but the skin starts to become blurry. The face starts to have pixelation. And so for me, like, all that is very much part of this larger discussion. How can I, as a photographer, make an image that speaks to that way of thinking without having these in-your-face tropes? What does it mean to see a blurry or pixelated image? How does the conscious register that? And so for me, that becomes really important.
Britain's Virgin Atlantic has dropped a requirement that female flight attendants wear makeup, joining other major carriers that have eased their dress and grooming requirements after complaints about turning female employees into sex objects. If they want to keep using lipstick and foundation, they must stick to an approved palette of shades. An airline executive said the changes, which also include making it easier for women to pick pants over Virgin's familiar red skirts, came after listening to employees. Broken bones from falls while dog walking are on the rise among older U.S. adults, and hip fractures are among the most common injuries. That's according to a study published in JAMA Surgery. University of Pennsylvania researchers examined government data on emergency room visits for dog walking injuries in adults aged 65 and older. The numbers nationwide jumped from almost 1,700 in 2004 to about 4,400 in 2017. Nearly 80% of the patients were women, who tend to have less dense bones than men. Injuries typically happen when a dog pulls on a leash and walkers lose their balance. And the New York Historical Society and IBM have teamed up for a website dedicated to educating students about the achievements of American women. Women in the American Story was set to launch March 8th on International Women's Day. The site is free and will include primary source material, essays, biographies, and guidelines for classroom activities. At first, the site will focus on early American history and the progressive era of the late 19th and early 20th centuries. By 2022, all eras through the present are expected to be included. That's our show for this week. Thanks to Patrick Garrett and Elizabeth Hill for production assistance. Our executive producer is Dr. Alan Shartok. Our theme music is Glow in the Dark by Kevin Bartlett. This show is a national production of Northeast Public Radio. If you'd like to hear this show again, sign up for our podcast or visit the 51% archives on our website at wamc.org. This week's show is number 1547.